Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Only problem I had with this whole situation is just the way you handle it. Sometimes it's okay to tuck your tail between your legs and be like, you know what, I up.
I did.
It's a humbling experience.
It must be humbling to only have something interesting to say when you're talking about me.
You don't think you need to humble yourself a little bit?
Jax, I talked to so many people. I don't need to humble myself to you, dude. You don't deserve it, homie.
I'm just curious. I'm just asking. I can ask these questions.
I don't need to give you answers.
You don't need to give me anything.
You've been relentlessly talking about me.
The whole world is talking about you. The whole entire world.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. That was a clip from this week's Vanderpump Rules. Jax is back.
Rotten Hill.
And not only is Jax back on Vanderpump Rules, but he's also on a new spinoff show called The Valley, which they bamboozled us into watching because it led directly into that, from Vanderpump Rules into The Valley, much like they did with the original episode, first episode of Vanderpump Rules, or like they did with Summer House. And it really is the smartest way to launch a show, by tricking us all into watching it. And I did watch every second of it. And will I continue watching this season, despite the fact that I do not want to watch that demon on screen? Of course I will. Of course I will. But Jax led right on into it. Jax is back. I have a lot of thoughts about Jax and Brittany, and I'm excited actually to see her Kentucky Muffin. And there's this whole thing, though, about whether or not they're together or they're separated. And I just have to complain about them doing a press tour together, because it is the wildest thing to me that Jax and Brittany, I don't know if you've noticed this or seen on social media, they were on E! News. They did an Access Hollywood interview where it's Jax, Brittany, and Kristen Doty. Now, this is the first time, because I sort of believed, this is the first time where I'm like fully on board with like, this is bullshit kind of thing, because I don't understand why you would be doing press with the person you just separated with. Why wouldn't someone either from the network say, oh, you guys probably shouldn't be doing press together, maybe let's save it for the show? Like, just logistically, I don't understand why they'd be doing press together. Again, I understand they threw Kristen in there, so she's in between them in all of the interviews, but it just doesn't make any sense to me, and that's why it rings false, because I'm watching them being interviewed as they're together, and I'm like, what is going on? Imagine your marriage is so terrible that you have to move out of the house and go to an Airbnb, which is what Brittany has done. She's gone to an Airbnb. Obviously, you don't just go to an Airbnb willy-nilly. Something has to happen in the marriage, or something has to be afoot in the marriage for you to move out of the house when you have a small child to get some space and distance. So imagine going through all of that, but then you don't get space and distance when you're doing press for the new show. It's like the craziest thing I've ever heard of in my life. And so seeing them on E! News together, and like the hosts being like, so what's going on with you two? And Jack said, I don't want to talk about it. It's like, well, you're sitting next to this person. And then Brittany's like, oh, I'll talk about it. And I'm like, this is all crazy. That's the first time that I'm fully on board with like, this is bullshit. And maybe it's not bullshit. Maybe it's totally real. And eventually, I don't know. And look, do I feel bad for Brittany? And I'm rooting for Brittany. I'm always rooting for that Kentucky Muffin. Obviously, she's the one I want to do well and thrive and flourish. But there is a small part of me, I'm sorry to say, this is going to get me in a lot of trouble, there's a small part of me that thinks, okay, Britt, well, like, we saw you guys get together, and there are all these red flags that you chose to ignore. And so, yes, I want you to find happiness and peace and growth and blah, blah, blah. But also, we've just saw so much of that bad behavior. And then she continued on with both the wedding and the relationship and the child and all that stuff. So it is kind of difficult to garner too much sympathy. But I am rooting for her ultimately. And also, you know, I understand they say on this show at the end of, I know it's all blurry now, right? The end of Vanderpump Rules this week leading into The Valley. I don't know where it was. But I think Jax said something about money and when he was let go and he has a small child and he's like thinking when Bravo fired him, what's he going to do? And I thought that was really fascinating, and I would like a little more information on that. Obviously, they were let go of a handful of years ago from the network, and we saw they were doing social media stuff, so they were bringing in money. Of course, famously, my favorite actually gig that they had in the off season was when Brittany was trying to sell a stationary bike that allowed her to travel through Jamaica.
Hey babe, Cruz and I are packed to go to the beach. You ready to go?
Sorry, honey. Already here. I'm cruising through Jamaica.
in the off season when they weren't on our screens. She was cruising through Jamaica vis-a-vis a television screen on a stationary bike. But that's a tale for another time. The point is, it was interesting to learn a little bit about the financials, and I would like to know what they thought of the firing and stuff. And I still am just calling on them to maybe get into that a little bit more. Anyway, let's get back to Vanderpump Rules, because I'm getting into the Valley too much. And I'd even take notes. I was actually planning on having one of the cast members from the Valley on this week's show. So I didn't take notes because I was planning on doing it more of an interview style or talking about the show. But then the plans were thwarted at the last minute. So unfortunately, I don't have notes for the Valley, but I do have plenty of thoughts on the Valley. And I have 3+ pages of notes on Vanderpump Rules. And I got to apologize in advance. I do have a little tiny little drip in my throat. So if you hear me sucking on a cough drop, then that's why. Anyway, now, they already filmed their reunion. It filmed last Saturday. I love that they filmed it. And normally when they film these reunions, we always get a call to action, right? You go on the social medias and you hear the official account saying, do you have questions, or send me questions for this reunion, for the Beverly Hills reunion, for the Potomac reunion, for the whatever reunion. And I feel like on Vanderpump Rules, I didn't see that. Maybe it happened and I just didn't see it, but it was making me laugh because it was like, they knew, the network knew, they knew that, like, nothing has happened for 7 episodes. Fans have largely, I think, hated the first 7-8 episodes of the show. I don't think that's a big surprise or anything. But I think it was, like, so bad, the first 8-7 episodes, I don't know what we're on by now, that I think they knew if they were to publicly be like, hey, does anyone have any questions for the Vanderpump Rules reunion? We'd all be like, well, what the fuck are you filming a reunion for now? Nothing's happened on the show yet. I feel like I'm in Groundhog's Day, where I'm just watching the same episode of this show over and over again. It's like, she confronted Tom Sinceval, and it's like, okay, I've seen that before enough. Let's move on to some new storyline. I got to get something new, because I really do feel lately, like, every single week I'm coming on here, I'm saying the same goddamn thing about this show, because it's just Groundhog's Day. They're showing me the same episode over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And trying to rehabilitate Tom Sinceval. This was the first week where I felt like Tom really got to lean into his villainous behavior. And I just want more of that from Tom. Also, with seeing Jax on screen with Tom was the only time I kind of felt some, not, I shouldn't say sympathy, but like, Jax is just seemingly, it feels to me almost worse than Tom Sandoval, or at least like maybe a similar level, right? We all remember what happened with Jax and the Faith situation and the old lady at the hospice home that they were having sex next to or whatever. I don't remember the details of that story, but there was an old lady involved. The point is, I think that the two of them in a scene together makes either one of them look a little bit better in comparison. Does that mean even Shula Schwartz, I'm sitting there looking at him in the screen like, he don't look too bad, because it was like a scene at the end of this episode. It was Jax and Tom and Brock and James, DJ James Kennedy. And I'm like, Brock looks like some sort of angel. And then DJ James Kennedy, I'm like, oh, look at that nice young man. And then Jax and Tom, they look so terrible that the other one's not looking so bad. It's like, gosh, just surround people with terrible people and it makes you feel bad for them. And that's largely the whole thematic of element of this whole show, is just putting awful people together and seeing what happens. Anyway, should we talk a little bit about more about Joe? I feel as though we should, because Joe, I have a lot of thoughts. There was one point in this episode where she was imitating the Tootsie Pop commercial. Do you know when she was like, how many licks or something? And then she replaced the word little with whittle. And that was tough for my ears. My ears just immediately rejected it. It was like they turned into cartoons. Do you ever see on a cartoon? It was like it came in my ear. And then I feel like my ears just like grew eyes and then like bounced off my head. They were like, we're not interested in listening to that. And so that's what happened as soon as I heard that. I was like, I cannot do it. But yeah, Joe is like a crazy, I don't know. I felt bad last week because I think largely everybody was concerned about the Joe appearance last week, right? We were all shocked. We were all taken aback and there were a lot of memes. And I thought, oh gosh, this person's on TV for the very first time in a larger role. And everybody on social media was giving Joe a hard time. And so I did sort of feel bad about that because, yes, she was crazy when she came on the show last week, a little quirky. But at the same time, I understood that it's your first time on TV. That's upsetting to go on social media and just see all these terrible things by. Then, however, this week, I did get to see that text message that she had sent Katie after the divorce situation happened with Tom Schwartz. And she tried to buddy on up with Katie. And then as soon as that didn't work out, then she's all up in Tom Schwartz's trying to make a relationship happen. And so I did ultimately turn on Joe this week, especially. And so I'm sorry. I was ready to defend her this week. And then I saw that text message and I thought, you do not buddy on up to someone as soon as they get to divorce. And then try to sleep with that man or hook up with that man. And by the way, anyone out there, I even felt that way when Tom Sandoval, I know I'm all over the place today, but when Tom Sandoval had them, those girls over for the pool party, I was looking at them and I was like, ladies, you need to love yourselves. What are you doing after all of that happened? The scandal happened. You're going over to this man's house. And I understand like the voyeuristic nature of it. They probably just thought, oh, well, let's go see all this stuff. Their names were Kate and Michelle. I'm sorry to call them out by name, but they did meet Tom at Sir and then decided to go to the house. And it's like, this was right after the scandal happened. Like, you guys need to love yourselves. Kate and Michelle, I'm like, you should not be flirting with these people right after this happened. It's like so embarrassing. And so you ladies and men, everybody needs to love themselves a little bit more. I'm sorry. I know. I don't mean to have such high standards because what the fuck do I know? I'm an idiot. But it does feel like everybody needs to take a step back, especially Kate and Michelle, who arrived from Sir to this pool party. Luckily, though, I did come around on Kate and Michelle, the two pool party patrons, because they were just looking at Tom sideways. And so I felt like, okay, good. They're at least judging them on camera and kind of not going along with this whole thing when he's flirting with them and he's saying the craziest shit. Anyway, we'll get to that pool party. But before we even get to that pool party, we see Tom and Ariana at home prepping for the pool party. Ariana's getting ready to leave. Anne passes around shots when Ariana leaves. We also finally got like a little showdown between Katie Maloney and Tom Sandoval in their kitchen. And I really loved that. I really loved how Katie, although I think they were saying, was I wrong in this? They kept saying fathomable. Isn't it supposed to be unfathomable? I should know that. I should know that, but I don't. And so I probably shouldn't even judge because I don't even know what's right. Despite the fact that I'm a best-selling author, I do not know. I think it's unfathomable, right? Maybe I think they were using it wrong. Katie also had this lunch with Lala. Now, there are all these rumors about the reunion that filmed Saturday. One of the rumors is that Ariana eviscerates Lala at the end of this reunion. And then Andy had asked Katie Maloney on Watch What Happens Live, like, what's it like now after the reunion with you and Lala? And it seemed like Katie and Lala are now having even more of an issue than what we're seeing on screen. It seems like it's being it's brought into the reunion, or we're going to find out more about that later this season or towards the reunion. But in the episode, Katie sits down for lunch, and they're both just very business understated. Katie's wearing a white button-up, Lala's in all black. They're both dressed like Elizabeth Holmes variants. I mean, they look like all business, and really, you could have put Elizabeth Holmes in that scene, and I wouldn't have known that she was out of place. I would have just thought she started working a shift at Sir or something, or she's babysitting Summer Moon, because I swear the two of them looked all business, and say what you want about the fashions on this show, but this was a scene in particular. I was like, what the fuck are they wearing? They're going to the office. Like, they're always ready for them to walk into some corporate overhead lit office space, because I was just like, what the fuck are these outfits? And Lala, the thing that I'm finding tough about Lala is she's trying to act like she's changed so much, but I'm like, have you? I don't know. And they're both, I think both Lala and Katie could probably benefit from being softer presence, you know, or softer in their delivery with things. But also, I like that they kind of speak their mind. But ultimately, I don't think they can be friends because they are too similar, especially their fighting styles, their communication styles. But they make up, and so we're going to have to see where that goes. Then we have this pool party. Now, Schwartz arrives, and Sandoval says he painted his toenails for Schwartz. That's right, he painted those hooves for Schwartz, and we've got to stop that. I know Jax called it out later in the episode, but we've got to stop. We have got to stop. Can we just get some nail polish remover on set? Does anyone have, I swear, a PA, just, I don't know, get some nail polish remover on set and just set up by craft service or something. Or, I don't know, on a bench at Sir. I don't know. Go to the Belmont. They're always doing these scenes at the Belmont. Maybe just start, I think we should just start putting the nail polish remover in just different rooms, production that you think Tom Sandoval might go into. Just start placing them there, right? Like, he took a major deuce at the Belmont in this episode. Like, just go into the Belmont bathroom and just, like, set it there. And like, let him have the idea, because I feel like even Jack's telling him, like, we got to do something about that nail polish. Like, the white painted grippers are too much. And Tom like corrected him later in the episode. He's like, it's gray. It's like, it doesn't matter. We need some nail polish remover. And so we just, even in that scene, maybe set it on the table. Or, you know, it'd be a great idea. Something shady. This is something that would happen on The Housewives. Have a housewife come in and, or have one of the cast members come into the scene with the nail polish remover. That'd be so funny. Or to the reunion. Come on, prop department. I don't know. Somebody out there, prop department, Carrot Top, somebody who works with props. I need you to just set some nail polish remover in these scenes, because I can't look at it no more. I'm sorry. Also, this group at this whole pool party is just the wildest group I've ever seen in my life. Schwartz, it was like the vibes were too off for Schwartz. He's like, I can't be here. And, you know, if it's bad for Shula Schwartz, if he can't be somewhere, I've seen that man do all sorts of things. He's hanging out with Joe every second doing Tootsie Pop commercials, impressions. And so certainly I think that Schwartz isn't necessarily the best person to judge vibes, but if he's feeling bad about the vibe of the house, and he even says, like, Sandoval brought these young gals over to hook up with them, which is crazy. It's wild. It's crazy. It's crazy that he would bring to the shared house of the person he cheated on is, like, the craziest fucking thing. We're all ignoring it. Also, I don't understand how I keep seeing Sandoval in these scenes be so upset about Rachel and how she won't text him back or call him back, block the number, and he's looking at these photos and crying in the closet, which I've been there, girl, but crying in the closet for other reasons. Gays, am I right? Anyway, I do understand that he had a relationship and loved Rachel, apparently, but it seems like he has no remorse about the Ariana situation. Like, he's so upset about Rachel. It's like, what is going on? Like, that seems so psychotic to me, but I don't know. I feel like it's nuts. Also, at this pool party with this group, we have Billy Lee there who, I've said this before, but like, if Billy Lee's going to be on screen, I don't want Billy Lee just in service of Tom Sandoval. And it was like, even in this episode, Billy Lee says something like, oh, we got meet my new girlfriend. But then we don't even get to know anything. And then immediately Billy Lee's like, okay, Tom, so what's going on with this? And I'm like, I want to fucking know about Billy Lee's new girlfriend or some other, something else going on. Literally anything else. Literally anything else at this pool party I'd like to hear about. And it's like, we move immediately away from what I thought was at least going to, could be something interesting. And we got to talk about the Scandoval again. And it's like, okay, well, how about you introduce me to Billy Lee's? I mean, we don't have much, many trans people on TV. I think it could be a great thing to get to know about this couple. And instead it's like Billy Lee gets to hop on screen. And every time Billy Lee's on screen, it's like, so Tom, tell me about Scandoval. And it's like, enough. Let's get anything else going on. Anything else. And what is this group of people at this house? And poor Anne's always got a mop. Ariana arrives home and Anne's just mopping. Justice for Anne. She does too much. She's taking on a motherly role, Ariana says. And then Sheena comes over. That's right. She. Ariana does question Anne's responsibilities. And I do too, because Tom says that Anne's responsibilities include cleaning. And I just didn't think that was something that an assistant was supposed to be doing in the house. But I guess when it was up front when he hired her, maybe I understand. But I don't know. I'd be so pissed, though, if I was Ariana or anyone living in a house and it looked like there was a party at my house, but, like, I wasn't involved in the party. Like, I would be so fucking pissed. I would be so pissed. Anyway, we do see Sheena and Ariana talk about Dancing with the Stars. And Sheena felt like she was being considered, and then they chose Ariana. And Sheena was mad that Ariana didn't tell Sheena. And I get that. Ariana says she had an NDA. But I actually get Sheena's side in that. It's like, if you are best friends, there's an NDA. It's like, who cares about the NDA? In terms of your best friend, just tell Sheena, like, hey, girl. Hey, girl, I had to sign this NDA, so don't tell nobody. That's why I shouldn't sign any NDAs, because I would just call up my bestie and be like, hey, Jill, I don't know if you know this. I'm not supposed to be telling you this because I signed an NDA, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Do you know what I mean? At least when it came to something like Vanderpump Rules related. I don't know if it was really serious, I would, but actually I would. A bestie, you tell your bestie everything. I'm sorry, you just do. And so then Ariana ultimately makes up with Sheena. Now, Ariana says she worries, though, Sheena tells other people about their issues before her. And Sheena's very close to Lala, it seems. And I just don't know if Ariana and Sheena are going to be able to work this out, especially if Ariana had some big blow up with Lala at the reunion. I don't see how Sheena and Ariana come back from that. Because, again, Lala and Sheena are so close. Sheena also just got a house in the Valley, too. So I believe that Sheena's actually on her way out and she's going to move on over to the Valley. That's what I think. She's going to cruise on over from Marina Del Rey and she's going to cruise on into the Valley. That's what I feel. And Lala, too, maybe. I don't know. I feel like they're going to mix it all up next season. We'll have to see. And again, I just have to say that when you're having 7, 8, 9 episodes of terrible television and then you're doing a spinoff in the middle of that, I have a problem with that as a viewer, because instead you should just throw in all these people on Vanderpump Rules. I know I said that last week, but it still stands, because obviously Jax, when I saw Jax, and he had at least like a lot of on-screen energy and stuff, and I do not care for that demon, but at least I felt like it spiced up the show and gave me something different. And so then I followed him over to the Valley. So I just wish, though, they would have, I don't know, figured out some other option, because I'm not liking the option that they have. Ariana does, though, when she sits down with Sheena, and Sheena was like holding the dog's hand, too, which I loved, holding the dog's paw. And I do think we should all be able to hold a dog's paw throughout our days. I woke up grumpy today, and I really thought, like, if I were to just grab a dog's, if I got to walk throughout my day with like a dog's paw, I think I'd be happy as a clam. you know, just sitting with the dog. Or anytime I was having like a stressful work meeting or something, I wish I just could hold it. We don't have any dogs. I need to get a dog, I guess. But hold on to a dog's paw. I'd feel like I'd be real calm, cool, and collected then. Calm, cool, and collected. Anyway, let's see. They talk about that. And then we have this Schwartz and Joe scene. You guys, the Schwartz and Joe scene is just wild. When she said whittle instead of a little. Just have to point that out again. And then once again, repeat that they imitated the owl from the Tootsie Roll commercial. Remember that owl commercial? 1, 2, 3. You know, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? Which, by the way, that thing has been airing since the 1900s. Since 1901, I feel like that Tootsie Pop commercial has been on the air. When did TV start? Whenever that was. I swear that commercial was on when I Love Lucy was on. And when you get a good commercial and it hits, you keep it going. And so I would just like to commend the Tootsie Roll people, Tootsie Pop commercial people, whoever designed that campaign. They're probably long gone by now because I think they did it in the 1920s. However, I think they did a great job. And you just can't repeat that anymore. And I feel the same way about that Christmas commercial with the Hershey Kisses where they're like bells. And they can air that thing for 100 more years. It's timeless. It's time. Not a lot of things are timeless, but those two commercials, timeless. The M&M commercial when they're walking on Santa and they're like, Santa. And it's like, yeah, that fucking thing was made in 96 and I'm still in. I'm still buying M&Ms as soon as I see that commercial. And so they did a good job. I want to salute the M&M people, the Tootsie Pop commercial people. And what was the other one? I don't even remember. It's this cough. I feel like this cough. This cough, you guys. Fuck. Oh, my God. You guys, I'm looking right now. So I put these cough drops here because I have this little trip in my throat, you guys. And I'm looking at them now. I've been eating melatonin cough drops. Oh, fuck. Oh, my God. I just had a melatonin cough drop in my mouth. I didn't even realize I just got the cough drops out of the hall closet. This is melatonin. I'm going to be like a fucking Weekend at Bernie's in 10 minutes, you guys. Oh, fuck. I took a melatonin cough drop. Why do they have melatonin cough? Well, I guess it makes sense if you take them at night. I'm recording this at 10 a.m., you guys. What the fuck? I'm going to pass out. Be like Ken Todd on an episode of TV. I just passed out. Call me Weekend at Bernie's because I just took a melatonin soother. It's called by Ludens. Oh, I'm fucked. These probably don't work that. I'm probably not going to get too tired, am I? Uh-oh. Matt, get me another Diet Coke. All right, let's get back to our notes here. That was Schwartz and Joe. Okay, so Schwartz says he could marry Joe. He just needs time. I want to know what Joe's contract's like. How much is she getting paid? She's very much this season's Satchel, but Satchel didn't get a confessional. She's getting a confessional where she sits with the legs crossed, and it's very, it's a lot. And Schwartz keeps calling her Joseph. She wants to be BFF with Allie, which I do. Allie? Ren. Get Allie right now. Allie, I hope you're listening, Allie. I'm going to need you to get you lace up the sneaks and run on out of there because I don't want you to see. I'm really loving Allie late. You know how I feel. I'm really feeling protective of Allie, and I just want to be careful. I want her to be careful because I want Allie to last on television. So I'm looking out, Allie. Run. Just pretend you're in that, Bourne Identity movie. Wasn't that about running? I never saw it. I don't know, that Matt Damon one. I feel like she needs to get out of there and run, like Matt Damon in The Bourne Identity, or Tom Cruise in a Tom Cruise movie. He's always running. I feel like you need to lace up those sneaks and get on out of frame when it's a scene with Joe. Allie, I'm sorry to say, I hate to draw that line, but you really need to do that, Allie, because this is not a good... It ain't good. Then we have this night out at the Belmont, which they film at the Belmont a lot. I didn't know what this event was, or what it was for, or who it was for. Maybe I missed that. Tom and Tom talk about their grippers and how they're having a night out. Every week they talk about their hands. Because actually, last week when I was editing the podcast, I was like, God, I feel like I'm always talking about Tom Schwartz or Tom Sandoval's fingernails. But it comes up every episode. It comes up every single episode of the show. There's like stuff about his nails. And at a certain point, I need to stop, but also they need to stop showing me stuff about the nails. And then Ariana shows up. That's right, Ariana showed up. And Tom Sandoval was also there. This is a very small venue. I don't know if you know the Belmont. You can see it on the show, but it feels even smaller in person, I think. It's a pretty tiny place. So Ariana showing up there, everybody was shocked, but they didn't have any confrontation. And ultimately, I don't even know if it was that shocking, because it's like you're all sleeping together or sleeping in the same house anyway. So what's so shocking about that? Anyway, Sandoval says he's got to take a deuce, and he says the Belmont has the best poop bathroom in WeHo. And look, that would be a problem for me if I ran the Belmont. I understand he was complimenting the Belmont's shitter, but I still think that it's something that maybe should have gone unsaid. I don't need to know that he really likes that bathroom to take a dump in. I'm sorry. And there was a whole thing about him doing it, too. It was like everybody thought he left, And I just thought maybe we could have cut that. Maybe we didn't need to know about his bowel movements. Something. Maybe I'm wrong. Did you guys like Karen when Tom Sandoval was like, oh, I love that bathroom. I'm going to go, oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah, I'm going to take a dump. I feel like that's what he did. He's like, oh, yeah, I got to go to the bathroom. Best bathroom. West Hollywood. And then he went. And I just didn't know that I needed to know it. And everyone's like, where did he go? And then he pops out of nowhere. They all thought he left. And so I understand the dramatic tension of people thinking he left. And so that was good. But I just didn't, maybe we could have just said, oh, he had to go make a phone call. I hate to ask them to lie to us. I just don't, after all that I know about Tom Sandoval, I just don't know that I need to know about his bowel schedule. I just don't. And then the gals, while Tom is taking that deuce in the Belmont bathtub or bathroom, the patio is filled with the gals. So Lala, Katie, Allie, Joe, Ariana, Allie is going to read Joe's astrology. And Allie does that thing where she just sort of, she starts to say like what's going on with Joe. And she says something, I think it was about Tom Schwartz. She's like, you guys are meant to be friends. And then Joe made a face and she's like, I mean, but you could still date. And it was and I just thought, you go, Allie. Like, I feel like that's the kind of reading she's going to do on her astrology charts for people. And I think that's great because if I get my astrology done or if I get a reading done or something, I don't want to know about the bad things. I don't. Just tell me what I want to hear and let me believe it. And then I'll leave the session telling friends about it. I'll say, hey, go do this. And so I support Allie's reading. Ariana also, I feel bad. I'm gonna criticize Ariana again too, because she keeps doing this impression of Whoopi Goldberg in the movie Ghost. Do you notice this? She keeps doing the "you in danger, girl." And look, I love that as much as the next gay, but it's been happening a lot on this show. I feel like it was, I don't know if it was this episode or last week too, but there's been multiple times where I'm noticing Ariana on camera just going, "you're in danger, girl." And it's getting dangerously close to like 1998 when everybody was running around doing the Austin Powers impressions. Do you know what I mean? In middle school, every young male kid was running around like, "yeah, baby." I grew up in that era. I know. It was like pre-Borat. It was like everybody was doing the Mike Myers, Austin Powers impression in middle school. It was like that and the, what was that, Stone Cold Steve Austin? I used to hate that. I never watched the wrestling, and I always hated that when they would do the, wait, remember the young middle school boys when I was in middle school? They used to do that thing where they would cross their arms and like hit their crotch. Do you know what I'm saying? It was like this wrestling movement, I think. I think it was Stone Cold Steve Austin. And wasn't all those, I'm sorry, I'm getting us so off track here, but wasn't there something like related to a Bible verse when it came to Stone Cold Steve Austin? Does that make sense? Am I making that up? It was like Stone Cold Steve Austin, verse 316 or so. I feel like there was like a Bible number. I might be making that up. Anyway, moving on. The truth is, I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I'm on a melatonin cough drop. All bets are off. I mixed a melatonin cough drop with my Diet Coke. And so all bets are off today, baby. All bets are off. Okay, so the gals are on the patio. Ariana doing "you and danger girl" too much. Katie talks about that Joe text. And the text that Joe sent Katie said, "Bieber loves you," which I guess is like a Justin Bieber. They had an inside joke about Justin Bieber, unless there's another Bieber that I'm not aware of. But Joe wrote to Katie, "Bieber loves you, I love you, and I'm supporting your inner thoughts and visions. Live in the moment, you're a gem, and I've always respected you. XO Joe." Okay, if she's a gem, and you've always respected her, and you want her to live in the moment, then maybe she's chop trying to fuck her ex-husband. I mean, this is a husband. If anyone tried to fuck my ex-husband, I'm sorry, I would never talk to them again. I don't care. I don't give a flying fuck what their relationship was before or after. I don't give a flying fuck. If you started hooking up with my ex-husband, even if it was ex-boyfriend, I wouldn't be speaking to you. I'm not interested. I've got to draw a line, a boundary. But certainly an ex-husband. What are we expecting Katie to be nice to Joe? Especially after that text. And then living with Schwartz immediately after sending that text? Come on. Come on. Okay, so then Sandoval exits the restroom after his dump. And then he sits and talks to Sheena again, which we've seen this conversation 100 times. She's trying to talk some sense into him. And he wants her to, or she wants him to apologize to Katie. And Katie don't want to hear it. She don't give a flying fuck either about Tom Sandoval. She don't give not one flying fuck. I don't know why I keep saying flying fuck. But it's true, she don't give a flying fuck about that dummy. She's not interested. And Tom says he's always a scapegoat. He's playing the victim. He's like, this is ridiculous. Why do I have to keep apologizing? And they're like, you dummy, you have to keep apologizing because you're the one who fucked everything up. Like, you're the reason everything's fucked up. You broke the show. And then James yells at Tom. And Tom says he's not going to gravel anymore. He's like, you've all fucked up. And I do believe that everybody fucked up. I do believe that they all fucked up. I'm not trying to say that none of them haven't fucked up or they've all done really awful things. But right now, we're dealing with the awful things he did. So we got to address them until we can move on. And believe me, I wish they'd move on. I wish they would move on. Then we have the scene with Brock and Sheena. Now, Brock wants to talk about the nanny. Summer Moon is in this scene, too. She's drawing a photo that scares everybody. She drew a photo. Do you guys catch this? It was a really little moment. But Summer Moon, the star of the show, she was drawing a nice little picture. And she shows it to Mom and Dad, Brock and Shishi. And it's a scary portrait. It's scary. It's scary. It's like not, obviously she's not, who's that man who's painting on TV? She's not Bob Ross. Summer Moon ain't Bob Ross. And so what you're going to get in terms of drawings from Summer Moon is not going to be Bob Ross quality level or, I don't know, some other great artist. So when she shows this photo of a pretty scary person, Brock says, "Oh, that is you, Sheena." You guys, when I tell you, when I heard him say, when I heard him make that little joke that Summer Moon drew Sheena, if I was Sheena in that moment, I would have said, "I want a divorce." I'd say, "I'm filing the paperwork. Get me Daryl's address because I'm going to send it to Daryl. Send the divorce papers right on over there." And immediately, I mean, I would have been like Tamara Judge in the back of that limo.
"I want a divorce. F you.
On camera to say that I look like that photo that the toddler drew, the scary photo that Summer Moon drew. I'm not trying to blame Summer Moon, but I certainly don't need my husband saying on a camera that, "Oh, that looks like me." I'd be like, immediately divorce. Call up Daryl. Tell him to get that paperwork ready. I'm going to send it to him because there's unacceptable. Sheena says that Brock's tone is very Sandoval and because they were kind of fighting a little bit. And this is a crazy thing that's happening on Bravo right now. It happened on Summer House. And I feel like it happened somewhere else where on Summer House, Lindsay said like, "Oh, you're acting like Sandoval," she said to Carl. But meanwhile, all the viewers can see through all the Lindsay stuff that's happening with Carl. Like we're all like, "Okay, Lindsay, cool it." Like obviously he's not acting like Sandoval. Like he's being told different from Sandoval, but now everybody on Bravo is using this as like an adjective. Like you're acting like a Sandoval. You're pulling a Sandoval. You're doing Sandoval. And it's like, you guys, not everyone is doing a Sandoval. I know they all want the attention and stuff of the Sandoval, but it's not all happening like Sandoval. And so we got to stop using that. And by the way, I am pissed about Summer House. I think it's the best season that we've had in quite some time. However, I am pissed at how Lindsay is handling the stuff with Carl. And I understand why Carl, at the end of the season, he breaks up with Lindsay and breaks off the wedding because those two should not get married. It's terrible. It's terrible. And I love West, and I'm just concerned with West. West, the new hire over on Summer House. I'm just concerned because I love him so much. And so I know that that's going to bite me in my ass. But even I saw him on TikTok, and I was like, in love with him on TikTok even. It's not just the show. It ain't just the show, you guys. If you go to West's, is it West or West? It's got a T. But if you go to his TikTok, you're going to fall in love with him even more too. I hate to advertise his TikTok. And by the way, I don't even follow his TikTok, but I do see it show up on my feed. So I don't technically follow it. However, I've seen a couple and I endorse it. Let's take a break here. We got to take a quick breather. I'm going to go maybe have some more caffeine because I've been sucking on a melatonin drop. So I might be passing out here before we get back after the break. But in the meantime, find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino. You can get Everything Iconic merch at everythingiconic.store. Want to thank Acast, and we'll be right back. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic. And we're back.
I don't want peace.
Okay, back in the scene with Sheena and Brock. Now, they are starting to get playful. They had a little bit of a problem at the beginning of the scene, but they started to get playful, and Brock says he's trying to figure out his next career move. He is sort of Mr. Mom right now, and I do believe in a society not mired by gender norms, Brock would just be a stay-at-home dad, Sheena would provide, and it'd be totally fine. It wouldn't be a conversation on this television show. But it is happening, and so I hope they're able to work that out. I just wish we weren't so tied to this whole... And I sort of felt that way with the Valley premiere, too, where it's like... The women were just talking about being moms, and I'm fully in support of stay-at-home parents and mothers and fathers, anyone staying at home with kids. I think it's a full-time job. It's harder than any other job outside of the home, I believe. So I have no problems with that, and I respect any woman out there. My problem was more like in the presentation of it on the Valley. It just felt like, I don't know, it felt like that 1950s thing. And then even with like the friend of characters on the Valley, it's like the gay guy and the black woman are the friend ofs, and then it's just all these like heterosexual couples, and it's like, really? Like, it's just... Come on. Like, it just feels so like 1991. So Brock is also concerned that Ariana hasn't had time to take a breath, which seems like a valid concern because she was moving from deal to deal and Dancing with the Stars and Broadway, which I tried to go last week, you guys. I had to fly to the East Coast for a work thing. And I was so excited to go see a Chicago on Broadway on the Saturday night before I had to work. But unfortunately, she was filming the reunion here in Los Angeles. And so I was going to get tickets, and then it was like, oh, Ariana's not there. It's like, well, what the feck? Come on. Come on! How could they do that to me? I was so pissed. Anyway, we have Tom text Anne to make a protein shake. They're just texting back and forth. Ariana awkwardly leaves so Katie can have that conversation with Tom Sandoval in their house. And then, yeah, Tom and Katie, they talk. Katie's makeup looked flawless this episode, I thought. Katie, she says, apologies are just words. And that's when they get into that fathomless thing. It's fathomless. And Tom's like, oh, it's fathomless. And yeah, Katie's like, it is. And Katie points out, I think she's the only person on the show who maybe hasn't been involved in a cheating scandal where she's been sucking other D on the side or making out with gals or whatever. And so Katie, I think, is the only person on the show who's able to have any sort of moral high ground with these people, because she, at least to this, to my knowledge, to this point in the show's run, hasn't had some sort of situation like that. So it's interesting. So good for you, Katie. Then we cut to Schwartz. He arrives while Tom is journaling. You know, there's a lot of journal work happening on the show, which good for him. I think journaling is great for anyone. Anyone. I had a therapist tell me a long time ago that journaling's helpful. So I've journaled mostly my whole life. My whole life I've had journals. And it sucks to go back and look at some old journals, because when I look at the ones from high school, certainly I don't agree with some of the things I was saying. And I think, who is that? What the fuck was he doing? Because it sounds crazy. I mean, I was a very emotional teen, grew into an even more emotional adult. And so when you look back on them diaries, I think, what the fuck was I saying? Also, I'm so fascinated by people with their journals, because I wonder, do you say dear journal? When you're a kid, you always write in there like dear journal or dear diary. But then obviously as time goes on, you don't keep doing that. But I am always fascinated. I always want to look through other people's journals to see like how they start it, because they're always started so awkwardly. If they don't have the dear diary or dear journal, it just like sort of jumps into somebody's life. And so I would like to go through that whole journal of Tom Sandoval's. I want to read the whole ass thing. I want to read Anne's journal. I want to read Tom Schwartz's journal. I want to read Summer Moon's journal. I want to read Joe. Oh, you guys, could you imagine Joe's journal? I imagine Joe's journal is just like magazine cutouts of different letters to spell out every word she's trying to use. You know, like, it says like dear diary, but like each letter in dear diary is cut out from a different magazine. You know, that's how I imagine Joe's journal. So Tom Sandoval, he's sad. He lost all his friend and Rachel. He cries in the closet. Been there again. He's sad about the pictures and relationship with Rachel. And I don't know. He also compared himself to Scott Peterson, who murdered his wife. And I just thought, maybe you shouldn't say that. Maybe you should just, certain things you just think, why did you say that? And it's shocking. It really is shocking to watch the show and just hear some of the things that come out of these people's mouth. And I think it does come down to one of those things where it's like, when you're watching all of them together, sometimes you can't even take in. So when one of the cast members compares himself to Scott Peterson, you almost like don't even notice so much, because it feels normal in context of looking at all of these people on a ensemble show. But when you take a bird's eye view and you think, what the fuck, that man after cheating on a significant other of 9 years and still living in the house with her, and then all this stuff that he's been through with the scandal, you're still comparing yourself to Scott Peterson on camera? And on camera? What? But it's like it happens amongst the rest of the show, so you just don't even notice it so much. Anyway, he says he'll always be remembered about Scandoval. And look, anytime I find these like sliver of openings where I'm like, God, I feel bad. Like that must be tough or that must be hard for you or something. Then he says something like the Peterson thing, Scott Peterson. And you're like, okay, well, you help me help you. Or what's that saying? Help you help me, or you got to help me help you. Like if you want us to feel some sympathy and garner sympathy for you, you got to do something to make us feel okay giving you sympathy. Do you get what I mean? You get what I mean? Anyway, Schwartz is just racking his brain thinking of how to help. And meanwhile, inside that brain is just a tumbleweed in the desert. I mean, I don't know that he's really going to come up with an easy solution for Tom Sandoval to make things better, or how to help. He's got a whole show outlet. And that's the other thing, too, where it's so wild for Tom Sandoval to still be coming across as a villain, because after the offseason, after the hell that he went through culturally with the media and with social media and everything, you would think that he would go in with the camera crew and be like, I should probably present my best look on camera this season because I had a rough one last one. You know, so you would think, wouldn't you think if you're cast on a television show and you accidentally slept with your significant other's best friend while your significant other 9 years was actually at her grandmother's funeral and her dog was passing away and you decided to sleep with her best friend in the house that you shared with that ex for 9 years. I think that you would go into the next season and say, oh gosh, I should probably just present myself as nice. Like just let's not create any waves. I'd say, let all the other people do the drama. Let Lala have some drama. Let everybody else step it up. Let Sheena and Brock have some drama. Let somebody else jumpstart some drama. I'm going to take a season off and I'm just going to be nice and pleasant and not worry about anything else. But instead, Sandoval just keeps doubling down. And it's like, all you had to do, you have a whole show outlet that everybody's watching. All you had to do is just be nice on TV. It's not that hard. It shouldn't be. Is it really that hard to just for him to show up on camera and just be a nice human being? Just not say a lot. They're not going to fire him. He would have been fine this whole season. Just be nice. Anyway, then they have game night. And it's revealed that Brock said he was in an orgy? And then Sheena said that she was in an A-list orgy. So she went up to her husband. She's like, actually, I was in an A-list orgy. And she reveals, once upon a time, my body was a wonderland. I'll say that. So she was saying she fucked John Mayer. She was saying she fucked John Mayer. And I got to be honest with you. This is going to get me some hot water. I actually like a lot of John Mayer music. I know. I like a lot of John Mayer music. I do. Obviously, I cannot support that man. You know how I feel about my Jessica Simpson? I just cannot in good conscience support that man. I'm sorry. Now, will I listen to his music occasionally a time or two in private? Certainly. But I cannot publicly come on here and support that man. But I... When she was saying she fucked John Mayer in an orgy, first of all, I wanted to know who else was in this orgy. She says it's A-list orgy. I imagine, was there somebody else? Was it a friend? Was it another person we might know? I wanted that information, first of all. But second of all, I actually went to go find a clip of that song because Sheena referenced Your Body is a Wonderland. I'm like, oh man, that song. I should find a clip of it for the podcast, put on the soundboard. But then I re-listened to that song and it really is the most boring song of all time. I hate to say that, but it really is. If you listen to Your Body as a Wonderland, it's like so snoozy. And like, I don't know how it was so culturally a huge hit. And then that led me to his other song, Daughters. And I listened to that one, which is about Jennifer Love Hewitt. I don't know if you guys know that. Jennifer Love Hewitt was on this podcast. She revealed that it was about her, that song, I believe, allegedly. Then I'm listening to that song, Daughters. And it's like, daughters, be good to your mothers. And I'm like, what the fuck? It's so snoozy. What was going on back then? Was there just like, what was in the raft? Was he taking some melatonin cough drops as he was recording? Because it seems sleepy. Like the whole thing. And again, I say that as someone who likes, I like the Continuum album. I like some of that early stuff, that Room for Square album. So it's not all of it. I'm not such a hater on John Mayer that I don't listen to all of his music. However, those two songs specifically are the most boring songs of all time. And that doesn't have much to do with Sheena Shea, other than the fact that she was in an orgy with him at some point when her body was a wonderland. And I think Sheena's body's always a wonderland. She looks beautiful all the time. And so she shouldn't throw herself under the bus like that, because she probably is hotter now than she was when she was in that celeb orgy with John Mayer. But why was everyone just fucking John? I feel like everybody was fucking John Mayer. Don't you feel like everybody was just, what was going on there? It was like anyone just... In this industry, fuck John Mayer, I feel like. Every woman, it was like, you look back on... If you Google, like, John Mayer famous exes, you'll literally see everybody in Hollywood. Who did I mention on this podcast? What, Sheena, Bob Ross? I feel like he's probably fucked all of them. Every single person that I mentioned today, he's probably had some orgies with all of them. And God bless, I guess. But I don't like... I also didn't like... Remember when he went on Howard Stern and was, like, talking shit about Jessica Simpson and, like, about her body and, like, the sex and specifics about that? That's when I really turned on that man. turning that man real good. Okay, so then let's stop talking about that demon. He actually should join this show. He'd fit right on in. It wouldn't actually be that much of a stretch when you think about it, John Mayer joining the show, because he's got the history with Sheena Shea. Maybe we put him on the Valley. I want to actually, maybe. I don't know what he's selling like nowadays. Maybe he's still doing well professionally. And so maybe he don't need it. But I actually would like to see him on maybe the Valley, check in the, get a house in the Valley and see John Mayer in there. And let's see him working on new music, maybe with Sheena Shea or Allie. I think it would be fun to watch Allie. She wanted to be a Taylor Swift. So maybe we get John Mayer. And then could you imagine how jealous Sheena would get if Allie was working with John Mayer on a song? Ugh. That's the storyline. See, that's the kind of thing that we need to get moving forward on. These are the kind, I hate to give out all these beautiful, wonderful million-dollar ideas, but these are the types of deals to move these shows forward. And so we need to get John Mayer, I don't care, offer him what he needs and get him on in there because I can see the future and the future looks bright. And on that Valley show, there's a lot of couples right now who I can't tell the difference between. I don't know who's who. They're all kind of running it. I know it's only been one episode, but there's a couple of couples on there where they're all running on into each other in my brain. And so they're all a little too similar. And so maybe we need to get Body as a Wonderland Mayer on up there. Okay, so then we have Schwartz texting Jax because, of course, we have to set off the spinoff situation. And so Jax arrives to drinks with the boys. I checked in with Brittany, and she's cool with it. And I was like, I don't know that Brittany's cool with it.
Rotten Hill.
I don't know what to believe with those two. Yahoo's no more. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Can I tell you, though, actually... So I mentioned the thing about the press. I'm feeling like a little uneasy about the way that they're doing press together. But maybe that's nothing. Maybe it was already pre-set up, contractually obligated, although I do not actually believe that it would have been contractually obligated. I think that somebody higher up should have said, we shouldn't put them in. It'd be more interesting, even as a viewer and an audience member, it's more interesting if Jax isn't there and I can hear Brittany talk about Jax. Do you know what I mean? Like, it even is juicier. So why are they doing press together? But the other thing, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, a few weeks ago, I did Watch What Crappens podcast, does this big award show called The Crappies. It's a Bravo award show that they do a live event, and it's so much fun. And if you've never listened to Watch What Crappens, they're great. Anyway, Sheena Shea was there. And so it was like right when the rumors started to drop about Brittany and Jax. It was right around that time. The rumors had already been out maybe a few days. It wasn't like maybe a day or two. It wasn't a long time, but the rumors had been out. And I saw Sheena and I went up to Sheena and I was like, wait, what's going on with Jax and Brittany? Did you hear these rumors? And she had no idea what. Now, maybe she didn't know the rumors, or maybe she was covering, or maybe there could have been 100 explanations. But I took it and read it as it wasn't as like, what are you talking about? Like, that's not a thing. So that made me a little trepidatious. Again, maybe I looked too much into it. Maybe Sheena Shea was just covering for them because it wasn't public knowledge at the time. When I saw her face, when I asked, I just felt like she had no sort of even inkling of that there being trouble in their marriage. So that was the other thing where I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know. And I find it so weird that it all happened like right before. And then they conveniently started filming again. But then at the same time, when you look at Jax and Brittany, you're like, okay, well, it doesn't make sense that she would want to leave him because who wouldn't? Like, you know, it's like, I understand that she probably will be leaving him at some point, right? But I don't know if I believe that it's happening so conveniently now. That's where I'm at. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know everything. And I shouldn't pretend like I do. But here we are at my microphone. So it is what it is. Turn off this podcast if you don't want my opinions. Okay, then we have Guys Night at Tom Tom. No. Schwartz, we talk a little bit about Joe and Katie and also the connection. Joe was Kristen's best friend. And I don't know about this whole Joe thing. She's got a lot of energy. She even said to Allie at one point, she's got a lot of energy and she, I don't know. Joe says Katie said Joe was on crack. And then also Joe's mom thought that she might have been on crack. So then Joe's mom called her and I was like, Joe, what the F is wrong with your mom? Like, why did she think you were on crack? Because somebody like said... Obviously, when somebody says, oh, she's maybe on crack, I don't ever think anyone's actually saying like, oh, they legitimately do crack. So the idea that like Joe's mom had to question whether or not Joe was on crack, I was like, well, she must have had suspicions that you were on crack. You know what I mean? Like if somebody told my mom, if my mom saw on social media or something, somebody say, Danny's on crack, my mom would be like, okay, like he's not. Right? Like she knows me enough. It's obviously an exaggeration or joke or whatever. So the idea that like Joe's mom just saw that on social media and was like calling up her daughter and was like, so you're on crack now? What's going on? And then Joe had to explain like, no, I'm not on crack. There must have been some sort of underlying suspicion, right? Like I don't think that anyone would just naturally assume their daughter's on crack. Am I crazy? I don't know. Probably, yeah. So anyway, I'm not saying Joe is on crack by any means. I'm just saying it is something's wrong with that relationship, and maybe we need to make up the mom. Sometimes these moms come on in here and you think, oh, they need to get on camera immediately. And so maybe Joe's mom, where are you at? Mic her up, put her in front of the red light. I need to know. Then let's see. They talk about old times with Jax. And when Jax arrived at this boys' night, he arrived like Jaws. He arrived like the Jaws, and he was so anti-Sandoval until the spinoff was presented. And so in this scene, it was like he had a fight with Sandoval a little bit, but then ultimately it was like, yeah, I love the guy. He's my best friend. And he revealed he opened a bar in Studio City, Jax's Studio City. And Jax says to the boys, he says, you guys are the last people I'd ask advice for from a bar, about a bar. And I thought, that's a pretty low blow from Jax. And this group is really toxic. And Jax tells Tom that he looks 50. He's like, you got to get rid of that white nail polish. And I think this was actually the specific moment where I started to feel even like a sliver of sympathy in the distance when I closed my eyes, is when Jax said that Tom looks 50, because I'm looking at Jax and I'm thinking, girl, if I'm looking at Tom Sandoval and Jax Taylor side by side, and I'm thinking which one I'm going to want to hook up with, I don't know that I'm going to lean towards Jax Taylor. So I don't know that he has much room to talk about Tom looking 50. Anyway, Jax says Tom needs to humble himself. Tom says Jax doesn't deserve that. It's very old school VPR energy, I thought. And Tom says he didn't dogpile when Jax was going through all his stuff. And I believe that was a complete lie, actually. So I will stick up for Jax at the end of that episode when Tom Sandoval said he didn't dogpile. He's like, Jax, you're dogpiling. You're going on the podcast talking. And I kind of think it's a lie that Tom Sandoval is saying he didn't dogpile with Jax, because I think he did. But Jax says his life is perfect. Obviously, that's not going to stick. And then we have that weird transition into the Valley where they've been bamboozled into watching. So let's take a quick break. And then I do just have some thoughts on the Valley premiere. One more quick break, and then we'll be right back. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey babe, Cruz and I are packed to go to the beach. You ready to go?
Sorry, honey. Already here. I'm cruising through Jamaica.
Cruising through Jamaica. I was happy to see her back on screen. If nothing else, I love doing an impression of Brittany or Kentucky Muffin, and so that's the only reason why I need her on television. I'm sorry to say that. I'm sorry. And also, Kristen is a chaos agent, and it's interesting to me that she wants to have a baby with someone who lives in Colorado 99% of the time, which is problematic to say the least. Kristen, if you're listening, maybe just do it another way, or have that man commit, or do it on your own, or I don't know, whatever you want to do. But it's up to her, though. It's her choice. She even said that in the confessional. She's like, Jax doesn't have any say. Jax was like obsessed with what she's doing to her body and like how she's having a kid. And it's like, Jax, no one's taking advice from you. Like, we don't need your opinion on this matter. Come on. Okay, the other couples, though, I didn't really understand any of them. I know Jason and Janet, who really I think are going to be the comedic relief of the season. Janet is the pregnant one, and Jason is her husband. The attorney is very hot. He's very nice. And I think they're going to be... I think they're going to be the fun people on the show. I think, of course, I'm sure they're going to get into some drama at the end of the season or some point. But I think it'll be interesting to watch all that play out. I don't know. I'm excited about them too. And I feel like they were the most likable ones on the whole show. Did you not feel that way? It's like everybody else seems like monsters. And I feel like Jason and Janet are going to be like the normal, nice couple. Could be wrong on that, but I feel like everybody else is such monsters and demons. And there's one couple that already filed for divorce or separation. But there was that one couple too that got mad because the guy was pantsed. Jack's pantsed the guy at the kid's birthday party or whatever that event they were throwing at the house was. And look, was it inappropriate? Jack certainly shouldn't have done it. He's 45. How old is Jack's? I don't know. Unclear. But he was pantsing someone in the middle of the party. But I don't think the kids were near when that happened. And also the gentleman who was pantsed, I don't know his name, forgive me, I did not take notes for this episode, but the gentleman who was pantsed, when the pants came down, he was wearing that long-ass blouse. I swear that was like a nightgown. I think that man was wearing a nightgown. I do believe that, because when the pants came down, it immediately covered the dingling. And so I don't know that anyone even saw anything, because his nightgown, immediately as the pants came down, the nightgown, it was revealed that it was going to his knees. And I thought, what size shirt is that? What size shirt is that? I know I'm a tall guy, so I sometimes, I don't know what's going on. Do short people wear such long things that are tucked in like that? I felt like it was a very long-ass nightgown. I just thought, like, why is it so long? Was it just, does he have to tuck in stuff because he's short or something? You know, I love a short king. I'm not trying to insult anyone short. I love a short king. However, it feels like nobody would have seen anything because that man's blouse went down immediately below the dick. So what? Who saw what? And then the wife is in the other room crying. I'm like, girl, you need to pull it together. Like, you are on television right now. That's what I would have said to her if I was in the show. Like, girl, you're on TV. You're on a hit show. You're going to be on a hit show. Like, this is being spun off from Vanderpump Rules. And you're crying in the corner because your husband was pantsed? Let's cool it. Like, what was that about? It was crazy. And actually, that was the only moment of the episode where I was like, oh, we got ourselves a season. You know, it was so fucked up. Like, it was so stupid. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I could watch this kind of thing. Like, I could watch crazy people fight about somebody being pantsed at a pool party, even though no one saw anything because the man was wearing a nightgown so long that it went to his knees or covered his ankles. But it certainly wasn't something that you'd be crying about. If somebody pants mad, I'd be like, whatever. Like, who cares? Now, we also have a couple that does not live in the Valley, and I don't have any previous knowledge of them, so I don't understand why they were cast on this show. Again, I don't know their names, and maybe they were the couple that had the good pantsing moment, but it does seem a little strange that we're calling a show the Valley, and these people don't even live in the Valley. So you need to get a house in the Valley. I'm sorry. Figure it out. But if you're going to tell me all these people live in the Valley... Also, why didn't they have anyone from the Valley on Watch What Happens Live last night? I was like, they should have had someone on the after show. Anyway... What other thoughts do I have about the Valley? I'm excited to watch the whole thing. I like how they were doing a little bit of crossover work even later in the episode when Lala and Shishi ended up at this party. That's another reason why I think those two might be jumping ship from Vanderpump Rules. Although then I think about Vanderpump Rules, like, so if Sheena and Lala, let's say, hypothetically, were to jump ship over to the Valley, then are we doing Vanderpump Rules with just like Ariana, Katie, Tom, because that doesn't make any sense either, to like lose more people from the flagship show to put them on the Valley. But then also I think like Ariana and Tom and stuff, they wouldn't work on the Valley, would they? Like, that doesn't make sense either. So I just wonder what they'll do. Also, people are speculating that like Ariana could leave the show next season. And I do think there'd be something powerful about her being like, no, I'm just not going to do it anymore, because she's on broad. She seems to be doing really, really well in her career. And I don't think the show's going to really do her any favors, but I also think it would probably be scary to just up and leave that paycheck. I don't know though. I kind of think it could be something. But then also, then what happens to Vanderpump Rules? I don't know, this whole thing. And Katie, you can't leave, because then what is Katie going to do? Her whole storyline is the sandwich shop. So then are we getting rid of Katie? Is Katie jumping ship on over to the Valley? Katie, I don't think, has any connection to the Valley people as much as some of the others. Because Katie, I don't know if you saw, I saw an interview with Katie where they were like, oh, are you going to watch the Valley? And she's like, no, like, I don't think so. She hates Jackson. I don't know how close she is with Brittany. So I don't think it would make sense for her. I don't think she's so close with Kristen. I don't know. It's all, I don't know. I don't know what happens here. And I'm sure they're all talking and figuring that out. But in my opinion, I think they could get rid of a lot of those couples on the Valley, and they should just join these shows. They should just join these shows. And I keep saying that, but it seems nuts that we're doing two different shows. It does. But I will keep watching 2 hours a week, and we'll be recapping it. And going forward, I am going to try to take notes on the Valley. So I'm sorry I don't have notes for the Valley. So next week, I will be covering this mess, whether or not we like it. Whether it's a terrible show or not, we're going to be talking about it, because we're also in a Housewives drought right now. And so there's not a lot of Housewives. We're still waiting for the Jersey Housewives to come back, and then Dubai is coming back in June, which I'm not feeling too confident about the Dubai coming back, because I didn't like the first season that much, and it just feels like it's been a really long time, and I'm not really feeling a lot of, like, I'm not feeling like anyone's really excited about what they filmed for the upcoming season of Dubai. I'm not hearing a lot of stuff about what happened, and I need a little teaser. I don't need a lot of teaser. Sometimes I don't like when they tease too much. Like, I just need a little tease, because right now I'm feeling like Dubai's going to flop because we haven't heard much about what happened next season. And I like that they're keeping secrets, but there's an interesting mix that needs to happen between like secrets and teases where I feel good about it. And right now I'm just not at the right balance of that. Do you get what I mean? You get what I mean. Okay, I love you all so much for listening. Thank you so much, and we'll be back next week. I'm going to go take a nap because I've accidentally been taking some melatonin cough drops. Thank you to Ludens. Melatonin soothers, they're called, actually. And it says, deliciously soothing for restful sleep. So I'm about to have a restful sleep, so you can't even talk today. It says, won't cause next day grogginess. I wonder if it causes same day grogginess. Probably. Okay, I should go take a nap. I love you all so much for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.